Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
News, views, connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the Morning.
Good morning. It's now 37 minutes past the hour from the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill. Honored to have you with us weekday mornings as we strive to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful. Yes, even here at the start of your morning, I'm here every weekday morning, bright and early, and even on a Friday as we head into a weekend. I hope your day's off to a great start. All right, now we've got SRN headline news, by the way, at the top of the hour, so stand by for that. Another news update from the folks at SRN News. I have a question for you, and this may seem kind of out of the blue. I will tell you that this has been kind of, it's a question that's been sort of simmering in my heart and mind for quite some time, and I thought that we'd wait till school gets back in session before we ponder the issue here on our program. And so here we are, at the start of the school year. A lot of students have already gone back to class. Many more will be going back to class after the Labor Day holiday weekend. Well, then it is brought to my attention. Thank you, Aaron McIntyre, on the other side of the glass enclosed booth here. Very interesting article that appears at a Christian publication. And the topic of the article is simply, is youth ministry biblical? Think about that. Is youth ministry biblical? Now, I guess the way I'd break this down, I would pose this question to you. If you are a parent or a grandparent, you don't necessarily have to be a parent, but if you are concerned about the well-being and the status, if you will, the condition of youth in your local community or in your church, but especially if you're a parent or grandparent, do you like youth ministry to split up kids into their own peer group, or do you prefer families to be kept together in church? What are your thoughts on that? Here's our number. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Now, this article, it appears at a Christian publication called Crosswalk.com, and I'll put this on the @MorningAustin Twitter account in just a few moments here. But it calls into question, kind of challenges some common assumptions that we have made in the church, especially in our culture here in the United States of America and really throughout the Western world. It challenges some of the assumptions that we have made about youth ministry, that youth are so unique and, they've got their own issues and they need to be with one another. And therefore, we need a youth pastor on staff at the church, and the youth need to participate in youth activities, and they need to be taught in a way that's applicable to youth and so forth and so on. And in many ways, I think that's accurate. I'm not suggesting that those assumptions are altogether wrong. It also seems to me that the concept of youth ministry kind of corresponds to the evolution, the development of this thing we call adolescence here in the Western world, which adolescence was sort of this category of person that emerged out of the Industrial Revolution, I would say. I mean, there was a day and a time and a place long time ago, back before our grandparents were alive, where you were a child and then a teenager, and at age 16, 17, 18, you got married and went right into the marketplace and started working and, turning the family farm or whatever it was. Well, then in comes industrialization, and all of a sudden, guess what? Kids need to stay in school and become more educated. And so we have this category where children are not quite fully adults, but certainly not children anymore. And hence the teen years emerges onto the scene. And what to do to keep kids in line and keep them behaving correctly and occupy their time and energy and put them to work doing productive things and so forth. And from that emerge kids' sports, youth music activities, and those kinds of things. I mean, that's kind of just a brief thumbnail sketch of 250 years of history or so. But the church has responded to that with youth ministry. This article that appears at Crosswalk is very probing and challenging. And I'm going to read some of it to you, but I would just, again, I would reiterate the question to you. If you're a parent or grandparent especially, or even just a concerned adult in the church, do you like youth ministries to split up kids into their own peer group, or do you prefer families to be kept together? Now, just to, I guess, share from a personal vantage point, this is something that my wife and I struggle with a little bit. We have a teenage son. He's almost 17 years old. He just started his senior year of high school. And I certainly want him to foster and develop and nurture good, strong friendships with other Christian young men and young women. And that happens in our church. At the same time, however, my son really, really likes the teaching from the senior pastor at our church, and more often than not would prefer to, you know, kind of hang in the adults' church service, so to speak, you know, the big sanctuary, if you will, on Sunday morning. And he kind of shrugs his shoulders and says, "Nah, who cares about what goes on in the youth meeting?" And the teaching and the level of discussion for him seems to be kind of, it's not really capturing his heart and mind. The teaching from our pastor does, but the teaching for the youth pastor does not. I know I've sat in a few times with youth activities at our church, and at times I've been really inspired. There have been other times, not so much recently, but with the previous youth pastor, I thought it was a little too much out there on the fun and games side of life, if you know what I mean, and not particularly substantive. Now, admittedly, I'm no youth ministry expert. That's very difficult to strike a balance between attracting young adults, getting teenagers and even preteens into the church, get them interested, and delivering some substance given the culture that they're living in. But it can be done. It does happen. How about for you? Do you prefer youth ministry that splits up kids into their own peer group, or do you prefer families to be kept together? I'll have more to say on this, but let's get to your calls. It's 877-933-2484. Julie, listening to us on Faith 90.7 FM in Minneapolis. Welcome to the program. Hello, Julie.
Good morning. I would say that a child who wants to hear more substantive teaching should be with the parents in church. I know that my 12-year-old grandson has never gone to groups. He's always sat in church with his Bible, with his parents. That just was not his jam, and that's what he did. He went with his parents. So on an individual basis, that's fine. But I would say that in the agrarian cultures of the past, where families were more together, there was more homeschooling. Of course, families sat together in church, and churches were small. You had farm communities. But today, where we do have a youth culture, our kids are in high school, the cities participate in the sports life of the students. There's a lot of activity centered around school. I think it's very important to have specialized youth pastors that take kids aside and teach them about the Lord and address the issues of the day in a way that teens with their peer group around them and the youth pastor will address that they wouldn't address with their parents.
Yeah.
If you have a child that feels differently, oh, by all means, that's the preferred way. I always prefer my kids.
I think what you're getting at here strikes a real balance. Julie, thanks very much for the call. 877-933-2484. Frank is up next in Fridley, Minnesota, listening to us on Faith Radio AM 900. Frank, welcome to the program, sir.
Good morning, Austin. Good to be. I'm glad you chose this topic. I've been on both sides of that story. I've been.
Tell me about that.
You might say a child minister for inner school city kids, and I've been a parent. And a couple points here. One is there is a tendency of parents to, as when they have youth ministries available, to kind of let go of their responsibilities as leaders in the home and leaders in spiritual development for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the statistics have shown that the persons that children really look up to most for leadership is their own parents. So if they let go of that leadership in the home, they are really not developing their kids as well as they can.
You're hitting on something very, very important, and I do believe there is a problem at times with parents, just like they do with the child's school. Maybe it's a public school or a private school or whatever. They want to drop the kid off at school and say, he's your issue or she's your problem. You deal with for the next 8 hours. I don't want to hear any feedback here. Similarly, we kind of do that in some cases with youth ministry. At the same time, though, and you've got an interesting perspective on this, I would say, Frank, as you say, coming at it from both sides of the equation, there does reach a time and a place, and I recognize this as the father of a almost 17-year-old son. I'm in that process where my influence is being reduced in my son, and he is more and more influenced by other young men especially. And so I want to do what I can to sort of point the way and encourage him to develop healthy relationships with other adult men, one of whom is a youth pastor. How do you strike that balance there where kids quite inevitably are sort of peeling their, in the teen years, peeling themselves away from the kid, from the parents, and grabbing onto the influence of other adults?
Well, I think that it's really important to maintain the role of mentor, yeah, and discipler in that relationship. Another important factor, you know, the thing that you mentioned something I think that's really critical here about the kids, parents dumping their kids off on the schools and letting them,
sure,
take over. And The track record of home education and homeschooling far excels that of most public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching process is part of the home, is part of the home, and this again, the statistics show,
yeah,
that homeschooled kids do far better.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Listen, Frank, need to roll on. Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate you've got a very interesting perspective. Appreciate your call, and great to have you with us. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Here at the start of another school year for young people, when it comes to youth ministry, do you prefer youth ministry in your church that splits up kids into their own peer group, or do you prefer church ministry that holds families together? I'm not saying it's an either-or proposition, but there is a balance, and sometimes it's difficult to find that. 877-933-2484. Back in moments on the Faith Radio Network, 49 past the hour.
We want to know what you think. Join the conversation at 877-933-2484. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
It's 52 past the hour. I just put on the @MorningAustin Twitter account from Faith Radio this very intriguing article that appears in a publication called Crosstalk.com. And so I hope you'll follow us there, @MorningAustin. Get over there and check out the article. I'll tell you some more of what some of the suggestions it's offering, some of which seems probably radical as it pertains to common functionings in the church, at least in evangelical churches, and its thoughts on youth ministry. How about for you? Do you like youth ministry that splits up young people into their peer groups, or do you prefer a church that holds families together? David is up next. David, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Faith Radio Network.
Well, thank you, brother. Say hi. You know, splitting up kids is very efficient, but it's not very dynamic because they don't see, you know, younger kids to appreciate, older kids to admire. And it's not the real world. The public school model is efficient, but I don't know if it's effective because, you know, what is real about all this, let's call it stratification in the school? Nothing.
That's an interesting thought. I appreciate what you're saying there. It's one of the reasons I frequently suggest that parents get teenagers and even preteens involved in service in projects where they get mentored in a workplace. I don't think it's ever really too young to get that going with an internship. So you prefer a more integrated approach to ministering to youth in the church?
Yes, it facilitates things better. I mean, what is it? A bunch of kids the same age? It's a static environment. What does one know compared to the other? Not much different.
All right, sir. Listen, I appreciate the call.
How old is that?
All right, David, listen, thanks very much for the call. Great to have you with us here on Faith Radio. Nadette is up next. Nadette, welcome. You're on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning.
Good morning, Austin Hill. I believe that the appropriate question for the topic is what makes youth ministry effective, because I think we're seeing that there's some shortfalls in youth ministry, and I think the positives of youth ministry is that the student could actually see how assembling for themselves together and having an effective church group, which is their youth ministry group, coming together and being part of giving and taking together as a church group is meant to be when we assemble together as a church body. And here they can give in their own music ministry or Bible study together. What makes youth ministry effective is really what we're discussing.
So how do you answer that question?
The way to answer that question is, are we actually building the lives of youth? Are we entertaining the lives of youth? The dynamics would be the opposites.
So you would answer the question with another question.
Well, we have to do analysis of our youth ministry to see, are we actually teaching youth to understand and read the Bible and encourage one another, because, you know, as iron sharpens iron, youth sharpen the other youth. We encourage one another on to serve God with all our heart, soul, mind, and body. And youth have a way of working with each other and with leadership to be effective in their world. And sometimes it takes a youth group, honestly, to turn that on, because not everyone has the idealistic family that's going to bring them up.
No, listen, I could not agree more. Listen, Nadette, thanks very much for the call. Very probative questions and very intriguing answers. It's one thing to juxtapose this and say, well, do you split up the kids or keep the families together? What if the young person really doesn't have much of a family? The church should become the family. I guess the question at that point is it the broader church body or is it a select portion of it? Anyway, Nadette, thanks very much for the call. Real quick, Eric in Columbia Heights. Eric, final few moments. Welcome to the program, sir. What's up?
Hi there. I appreciate you guys touching on this subject. I've been digging through this as I have three young kids, and one of the things that I keep coming back to in this is just that, I think there's a great place for youth ministry, but I think it's a supportive ministry that should be encouraging the parents. And, you know, like the previous caller was mentioning, what if there is a set of parents? But I guess I think everybody's been touching on things that are extrapolated out of Scripture, but if you look at Scripture, I don't really see a whole lot of comments of anything of the youth ministry sort so much as intergenerational discipling.
And your point's well taken, and Eric, I've got to let it go with that. We're just about out of time. Point is very well taken. Again, I think we're talking about ministry, trying to address the needs of the culture, our current culture, as it exists. And remaining true to the Scriptures while addressing the culture as it exists is something I'm not going to figure out in 20 seconds remaining on the program. But we'll continue the conversation. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Keep it right here. It's the Faith Radio Network. See you Monday. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.